So, Hare Krishna, Hare Bol, let us see. Krishna, 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 Krishna. Maybe a switch needs to be. Hare Krishna, yes. Hare Bol, Hare Bol, Hare Bol. Hare Krishna. So, I want to greet you all. Thank you very much for coming. Maybe I can make some more space here. It seems that the sound recording needs some, how do you say, not sound recording, the thing needs some adaption, some, is it like this always? It's always like this in this hall, yes? No, then I can speak very melodiously.
You just make a short line.
Okay. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare. Yes, my voice is also not so good. It sounds like a crow which has just awakened from Tamagun. So it might come better. Tridasha Roy, would you be willing to please tell me 5 minutes before we have to end that you have now 5 minutes, because this is a very, we have to really end on time so that the seminar starts, yes? Do you know when the seminar ends? It's here on this thing, you can see. Gurahari, where do you, can you increase the volume of this? Is it possible? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Good, good. Welcome to our second day of the seminar on developing emotions to be able to taste the relish of bhakti. We ended yesterday with a very important note. We looked a little bit of the most at the most strongest of all emotions, the emotion of love, which has around it so many wonderful qualities like gratitude, affection, sacrifice and giving, etc. Qualities which we require in our spiritual growth. We looked a little bit of at the statement of one Erich Fromm, whose statement I found a little inspiring. Love has nothing to do with fear. Love has to do with expressing oneself creatively, freely. And it is based on Shraddha, on faith. Today, we will enter into a very, let us say, critical question. We will enter into the question of self-determined life, being independently thoughtful, being creative. Prabhupada has once spoken about this, and as you see, Prabhupada's statement has moved me very much. It says like this: the Krishna consciousness movement is for training men to be independently thoughtful and competent in all types of departments of knowledge and action. I found this so important, this statement, that I have put it into my most important service book. This is my address book for a preacher. He thinks he needs addresses and people all over the world. and so on. Because I thought that this is important for my life, and it is important in for preaching to our devotees. See, if we want our love to grow and to come from what we saw yesterday, to rise actually from the from the prison of selfish love to selfless giving love, it will be important for us, especially as Hare Krishna devotees, to think deeply about the role of authority in our life. I would like to address to you a problematic area of authority. With this, I will lean myself a little bit out of the window to make you think. Leaning out of the window, at least in German language, means that the speaker will enter into a difficult area, maybe even a painful area, in order to get a new perspective. Because you all have heard about how important the authority of Guru, Sadhu and Shastra is, what you will hear now should not raise your protest too much, but a little bit you should think very critically of what you will hear now. Please have faith that this is necessary in order to enter into this session where we will deal with the question of love and authority. A little while ago, one researcher in Harvard wanted to find out if the problematic areas of following authority. I believe his overall research was connected with the amazing history of the German people who surrendered to the authority of both a demonic person, Hitler, and a very distorted philosophy. Carl Jung later described Hitler as being the Führer who was always geführt, being the leader who was always led. By what? By his unconsciousness, the primitive urges for power, which he followed without editing it with a conscience. He said Hitler's success at one period was to awaken these primitive urges in his followers, because he was seen by them as the indisputable authority. Professor Milgram in Harvard wanted to find out how this is possible, and if it is maybe possible even today to lead people who accept an authority into no longer thinking, no longer being independently thoughtful. And he designed an experiment. I'm sorry, I can't see this now, which would be possible. Could you just bring this back 50 centimeters or more? It would be good if I would have a stick, because I'm captured to this, or bound to this microphone. But maybe my hand will suffice. Please look at picture one. You see a scientist who gives an order to a student to who is depicted there with a machine and a screen. Please look at picture two. You see something which the student before the machine does not No. You see an actor in a different room, which is connected to the room where the scientist and the student is by a sound device. The actor has a microphone and there is a loudspeaker in the room in which the scientist is. This was the setup. Now, the experiment. The scientist told different types of different students who were invited to come for an experiment that in another room there would be a person. He would be on a chair, and the experiment was meant to find out how much electricity the human body can digest. Of that person. The student was informed by the scientist that when he would go to the scala, to the number 10 in the scala, the patient or the person in the other room would die because it's too much. So the student said, welcome, this is a medical experiment. It is meant to save the human race. The findings of these experiments are extremely important for the progress of human society. We will begin now. So the student put the electrical voltage on one, and he heard over the loudspeaker our actor. He didn't know it was an actor. Saying, no, commenting, nothing. Then 2, 3. He heard a little sound like this. The scientist said, it's very important, we need to find out how much he can take. Go to 5. He heard something like this. No problem, he can take more, said the scientist. Go more. At 8. The sound was, I don't know how a person sounds with 8. It was really expressing horror, intense pain, and so on. I won't disturb your process of digestion by making the sound. We were fasting. I won't do more. How far do you think most of the students were willing to follow the experiment? They went up to the end. They didn't question the authority. Is this really important? I mean, can't we find out in a different way? Do we have to, in the modern times, is it at least all right to kill someone like this? They didn't question the authority. Because within the human being, there is an amazing... first of all, do you understand the experiment? I'm not sure if... Who doesn't understand the experiment?
You could see, too, they had glass, so they could see the actor.
They could see the actor, even. They could see, like, he was really passing out, sweating and tearing and everything, and so on. They went till the end. They didn't question it. They didn't ask. Now I will tell you something, this experiment in a Krishna conscious society. We had a leader, not the leader you think of, I mean the recent leader of the German Yatra, was another leader. And I want to keep it clinically neutral, my presentation. It's not a, and he just said, let us steal apples. In an apple plantage?
Plantation.
Orchard. Orchard. So, I was ready for adventure. I was surrendered to the authority, and so was my older brother. No, authority is very good. You don't have to think. He thinks for you. Let us go. And we went with a huge truck and engaged in picking all the apples of the plantation. Orchard. Then my brother had asked the authority, what if the owner of the orchard comes in the midst of the night? The answer of the authority was, you were a street fighter, you know what to do. And my brother knew what to do. You have to hit here, behind the ear, and the person loses his consciousness. He's not killed, but he's out for a couple of hours. And he did it. The authority had said so. There was no questioning. I would now like you to turn to your neighbor and answer one question. Give your best. This question will shake you a little bit. What is the, benefit, not disadvantage. Or should we, this is shaking the audience too much. Let us go in the natural stream of the ordinary thinking mind. What could be a disadvantage of following authority? The sound has nothing to do with the seminar. It's on the side. We will hear sounds in a little while. Disadvantage of following authorities. Please turn to your neighbor. And please be fast. It's only... you only have like 4 minutes. No. You have 1.5 minutes more. 1.5 minutes more. Thank you. Thank you very much. I think we do too much here with our sound. I think it was after hearing such a thing, you have found some things which could be dangerous. But I really wish to say to you that this disadvantage can, or let me say, there are always immature human beings, and there can be leaders who also suffer in some areas from some immaturities, and there can also be followers who suffer in areas in immaturity, like certainly myself and my older brother. They were not very mature. And we had not understood what it means to follow an authority. Could I hear now with the group what are advantages in following authority?
You can make
No, what are advantages? Advantages. Mm-hmm. Why is it good to follow an authority, Jayadvaita Maharaj? You can get a lot done. Efficient. Safety. Tatvavit Prabhu. The power of natural authorities comes from God. Mm-hmm.
The mind will be at peace. Like if the authority is good and you trust, then you have no more of your struggle.
Yeah, the mind will be at very. The mind will be very peaceful when you have a good authority and you follow. Mm, there's peace. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
We don't need to pass through the pains of our own experience.
I'm sorry. Uh-huh. We will not have to have the pains of our own experience. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, Prabhu. I'm sorry. Humble. Aha. We become humble. Yes. Yes. Welcome to the land of France. Yes. Yes. Humble. Yes.
Yeah. We learn to do the right things at the right place in the right time.
We learn to do the right things at the right place at the right time. Wow. Good. Yes. I think, thank you very much. Today is Bhaktivinoda Thakur's appearance day. Is it appearance or disappearance? Disappearance, I'm sorry. There's a beautiful song where Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains four beautiful songs. They are all songs to the spiritual master. We can learn a lot of what it means to follow a spiritual master. In the art of teaching, Burijan Prabhu brings forth a principle which has always inspired me very much and which I would like to share with you. He quotes, I believe, some of the Upanishads where teaching goal of a guru is described. You will now get the insight into, what gurus have as aims when they teach their disciples or pupils. It has a lot to do with what Prabhupada summarizes so beautifully in teaching one to become independently thoughtful. It is expressed in the Upanishadic language that the knowledge which the spiritual master has from the Lord is like the sun. He is to transfer this knowledge to his disciple who is compared with the moon. The moon, in this analogy, gets the light from the sun so that he can use this light independently. It's a beautiful analogy, I find. When the sun goes to another part of the hemisphere, it will first deliver the light to the moon, which rises in the east. As the sun sets more and more in the west to do his work somewhere else, the moon rises and then shines and gives light to the hemisphere. So that pupil or disciple learns from the spiritual master to take on the knowledge, to learn the knowledge, and then to use it on his own. In life, there are situations where you can't phone your guru. What to do now? I'm on Sankirtan, the person has said this. What should I answer? No, you should then answer. In life, or life on developing and maturing and growing in your emotions and in your service and everything, you will have to apply what you have learned, and use it in the laboratory of your own life. In the song Gurudev, it's beautiful. This book we have. There is a strophe, a verse. Let's see if you want to find it. It's on page 48 of 58 of the Sharanagati compilation. And Bhaktivinoda describes that he has gotten an order from his spiritual master, but now he wishes that the spiritual master gives him the spiritual qualification to fulfill that order. It's to sing the holy name of Hari. He says, "But when, O Master, out of your great mercy, will you bestow upon this servant the spiritual qualification to fulfill that order? My mind will then become tranquil. I will endure all hardships, and I will serve Lord Hari with undivided attention." We want, in other words, from our spiritual master, mercy, so that we can act in our life. We request him for blessings. That's why in the morning we approach Srila Prabhupada in a humble mood in the Guru Puja, and we offer him flowers and request the blessings for the day to come. Spiritual authority should never be equated with dictatorship. Spiritual authority should be understood. First of all, it's always coming, being associated with the sadhus and the scriptures, guru, sadhu, and shastra. And second of all, spiritual authority, like for instance the authority of our Srila Prabhupada, wishes to make us independently thoughtful. In other words, equip us for our life with the necessary strength and intelligence so that we can do everything. Is this Hridaya Chaitanya? Hari Bol Hridaya Chaitanya. You give great pleasure to our hearts. Most probably you are doing service now. You are inspiring our class. Hare Krishna. So this I found is an important piece of information which we need. Never stop thinking, my dear devotees. Never think, I have entered the Hare Krishna movement to stop thinking. You have entered it to start thinking. You get knowledge. Never think you have entered to stop your growth in and your own spiritual path. I'm now part of a movement where everything, every thought is thought for me. It's on. No. Embrace this culture properly. I will now go to the main subject of today's class, but I now have to ask, as you know, can you see that I'm a little nervous? It's because of the time factor. When do we have to start? And I really want to start on time, that you have a pause, then we can all together, then we can observe the next highlights of our thing. When is the pause starting? 10:40. Then there is what, in half an hour. Oh, good. I want to now enter with you my favorite subject in this course. It's called the divided soul. Divided soul is not an entirely philosophical term. As we understand from the Bhagavad Gita, the soul cannot be divided. I mean more the divided mind in this, by using this term. It's an accepted, at least we have this geteilte Seele. In German we have this, I hope it's in English also.
Divided self.
The divided self. The divided self means you have something which you maybe think is you should be doing, but the other half wants to do something else. You have a devotee who has a high ideal, but who has a conditioned nature. He wants to be a servant, but he also likes some juice in life, four rules and regulations. Yes, yes, yes. But privacy is something else. And then one feels someone. I have certain attachments. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur addresses the divided self in his work Madhurya Kadambani. It's the devotee who has not yet reached steadiness in his life and who had things like difficulty to keep up his vows, difficulty to be determined always, difficulty to follow his ideal. He says, he writes very beautifully, the devotee thinks, should I renounce everything and run to Vrindavan? Or should I enter the Grihastha Ashram? Then he thinks, if I enter the Grihastha Ashram, it will be entanglement. I have heard from the sannyasis. And how can I get a thing which is in the east by running west? This way he is undecided and divided. I think we all know what the divided self means, and if we don't know, we will know it in 10 minutes. Doctors who have done iris diagnosis, do you know what iris diagnosis is? It's like almost a microscopic thing which goes, and the pupils are seen, and when you look into the pupil, is it pupil, pupillin? Yes, then you can see what organs are maybe not functioning and so on, because in this medicine the body is seen as a holographic picture where everything in the body shows at least in the eyes. And the doctors too have told me, when I look into the eyes of many of your devotees, I see that they live in tension. There's a flickering in the eyes. What could this be? Do you see it more than in ordinary people? Sometimes yes, they say. As I said, I was thinking about it. I said, listen, see, we have heard about a spiritual idea. We have heard that it may sometimes be necessary to overcome the urges of our lower self, but the lower self doesn't do us the favor and stop urging. So there's a struggle sometimes between the higher self and the lower self, and that may cause attention. This tension is known in spiritual circles. I have become a little friendly with one bhajan singer whose bhajan is often sung, heard in our temples now. It's Krishna Das. He's a disciple of Neem Karoli Baba. And he has introduced mantra chanting to the yoga scene on a large, large level. Krishna Das had occasional contacts with devotees. His Mridanga player, Bhima Kama, is a very nice devotee. Now Bhima Kama is no longer, he's learning in Vrindavan more Mridanga beats and so on. He knows Krishna consciousness. He didn't always make the most favorable context, but that is because he is a torn person, a divided self, and sometimes young devotees may not have the tactfulness to preach to people who feel they know something, and so on. Krishna Das's habits are also not exactly within the realm of the four regulative principles. And he made one recording which we want to play for you. I really hope it will work this time. He made a recording with another divided self, one pop musician called Sting. They recorded the song Amazing Grace, which we will play for you, where the good side in them comes forth. Gaurahari looks, we will try our best. Please bless Gaurahari. Before we start, I will give you the history of this song, Amazing Grace. Amazing Grace has become the end theme of the New Age movement. Amazing Grace, how sweet thy sound, that savest a wretch like me. Hare Krishna, I'm not so good in English singing. Sorry, I don't want that we laugh about the song, but it's a very devoted song which has been composed in, I believe, the 16th century by one Englishman who had a very interesting turn towards Christian life. He was the son of a slave hunter, an English slave hunter. He went with his father to Africa and violently kidnapped the African men away from and women from their homeland and put them and sold them violently. So on, you know, when his father died, he was abused by the captain of another slave ship, and he became the most violent and bitter person. Now once, when his slave ship was full with slaves, which he had just hunted in Africa, he came into a terrible storm, and the storm really tortured the ship. The sail was blown away, the mast, this must be it's a German word. Is it an English word as well? Mast, yes, mast. It was blown over. The boat started to leak. All the slaves started to scream and to sing in the African language to their respective gods. And the ship was sinking. This moment, the slave driver, in his utter desperation, kneeled down on the ship and said, "If you are there, controller of the world, O Almighty God, if you are there, I promise, if you save me now, I will turn to your servant." The storm abated, the story goes. Another ship appeared on the horizon, which saved everyone on the sinking slave ship. The captain, now captain, came back to England and started a preaching program. His name was John Wesley, and he composed many songs. He started on the lawn. He didn't have a church. In the meadows, more people came, and he talked about Christian philosophy, and then composed this song, Amazing Grace, how sweet your sound. That safest a wretch like me. I was blind, so blind, but now I see. You will hear it. Please hear the sound of this artist Sting, because we will hear another song from him where his other side comes through. Please hear the sound. I hope it works. So here you see a very influential personality, Sting, singing like in a Christian choir, his heart out. I think you heard his voice. It was a very high voice, very beautiful voice, and really feeling what he thought. But then there's this other side. The divided self, which feels attracted here and tempted there. It's a phenomena which we all know. And he made, he is an intelligent man, he's maybe not so spiritually advanced. He made a song about this, which one person whom I'm cultivating, he brought my attention to it, and I thought it's relevant. It describes a priest who is very God-conscious and who is working with his congregation, but who seems to do what also happens in all spiritual circles, also the Hare Krishna circles. He has a lady before him, and he something develops with the lady, and then he abuses the trust of the lady. The lady came to hear Christian talk and spiritual talk, and then she didn't want to. How do we say here and fine, but break the regulative principles with him. The song, I find it's relevant for you because it will tell you a little bit of the tension. The song is called There's a Moon Over Bourbon Street, and it describes the priest in his divided self, in his pain and in his torture. He walks like a wolf on Bourbon Street in the night, not during the day, because he sinned and he can never show his face to the people. It describes very nice the divided self, and I would like you to listen to it just to study a little bit the subject matter of I want this, I want to be a good devotee, I want to preach, I want to serve, I want, yes, but I love comfort also, I'm not so advanced, Prabhus, I think I need a little this and a little that, and so on. So we will try now to play this. I have not much faith in technique, but Gaurahari will save us most probably. We will put the text here. I think it is worthwhile to look at the text, to study a little bit how this person expresses his struggle. Good.
Bourbon Street. walks every day through the streets of New Orleans. She's innocent and young, from a family of means. I've stood many times outside her window at night to struggle with my instinct. Could I be this way when I pray to God above? I must love what I destroy, destroy the thing I love. Oh, you'll never see my shame or hear the sound of my feet. Oh, there's a moon over Bourbon.
This was a song which wanted to show you the tension, a song which of a fallen devotee who has given up the struggle, who is guided by the lower self, the instinct. I think we must be very careful in not judging devotees who have been defeated, hopefully momentarily. It must have been an emotional struggle. You see the priest, how could I be this way? You know, lusty, full of lust. When I pray every day to the God, or to the God above, I must love what I later destroy, and I destroy the things I love. That's a very, oh, Krishna, no, very, I think we can translate the principles into our own struggle. Of this tension, emotional tension, of a not so advanced devotee, I heard about this from Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj also. I was speaking yesterday with our Jayadvaita Maharaj, and we discussed how we both reacted to the glorious departure of this certainly very, very wonderful and exceptional Vaishnav. And Maharaj asked me how I felt, what I felt, and I related to him my last meeting with Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj. I will not tell you this about all the interesting circumstances of the meeting, but more about what he said to me. We had often discussed, and he always told me smilingly, "You and me, we are very similar. We like to dance, and we sometimes are also similar in other ways." And I felt honored that he had seen me like that, had seen some similar things. He said to me, "Sachinandan Swami, in our hearts, there are two dogs fighting. Who will win?" I could give the answer. I'm not so intelligent for this, especially not for these things. Then he answered the question. "The dog whom you give food." How true? How true? How true our Maharaj has said. It's a very strong picture which summarizes this section. For the beginning, tomorrow we will continue and have more on the divided soul. because I feel a divided self, because I really feel we need to know a little bit more about the forces which pull us here and there. And we need to also know what we can do. I mean, what does it mean to feed the dog? The spiritual side in us, that is what Maharaj wanted to say, so that we don't have to walk around in the darkness, a prisoner of our instincts, cannot show our face in the daylight, and so on and so forth. I will now look at the wristwatch.
2 minutes.
2 minutes, Krishna. Then then I will give what to do in 2 minutes. A summary. Today we talked on, I would like to say it like this, the benefits of authority. We also heard that authority has been abused in the past, and because it was not a spiritual authority, and the followers also the people stopped their thinking. I wanted to encourage you with this part to think very deeply, to release your creativity, which has a lot to do with love, and to develop on your own. This is an area which is stressed in our philosophy, and but I think it is not often presented enough. So therefore, I have done this today. 5 years ago, I once talked about this, and as we say in German, I set myself into the nettles. Devotees who were at a seminar said, "Oh, Sachinanda Swami has come and made the revolution here on this project. He said we should not follow authority." I felt misunderstood. I felt used. But I smiled to myself, because this is how the human beings are. My point in doing this is not to encourage you to follow proper, is not to discourage you from following proper spiritual authority. It is meant to encourage you to understand what proper spiritual authority, which is to teach us, that is, to the Krishna consciousness movement is for training men to be independently thoughtful and competent in all types of departments of knowledge and action. I felt this is important to deal with a real issue in our lives, that is the divided self. And with this we went to the next part of our seminar. We were telling you that there are the two sides in us, to say it in philosophical terms, the conditional and the constitutional side, and they sometimes struggle and fight like dogs, and this creates a huge amount of tension, emotional tension. We will continue tomorrow with yes, the six demons and the emotions which they represent, and then a wonderful, wonderful practical part of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, how a person can really nourish his spiritual side. If you understand this, my dear devotees, you will be a self-realized soul very soon. We will also enter into a meditational process. My meditation teacher is sitting before me. He will smile in happiness and hopefully to see me applying it. We will do an exercise where we will enter into dialogue with our minds. Thank you very much. Have a nice seminar day, Hare Krishna.